All right, I'm so glad you can see me. This is exciting because, first and foremost, I apologize for running late. That was my bad. Didn't really mean for things to get caught up, but I have this weird new energy where I'm getting back into doing this. I took 7 months off. I'm just going to go right into it. You're listening to Down the Rabbit Hole podcast, and I'm just going to go for it and talk shit because that's what we do. And one of the things for the last 7 months, people haven't heard anything. I literally fell off the face of the earth. I had a kid and I blame my child for everything. I'm just totally kidding. But I did have a kid and I was like, I'm going to devote more of my time to having my kid and not worry about anything else. And time just got the best of me and I just didn't do it. I was like, I don't know if I wanted to. Have you ever plateaued before?
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, congratulations on having a son. You said you had a son, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's your son's name?
It, don't laugh. It's Luis also.
Aww.
It's so basic. He's
Luis
a basic
the second.
Yeah, he's a little basic. Oh, also, again, now that we're going right into it, can you tell everyone who you are? Because they're like, I mean, I'm sure they clicked on it. They're like, oh, I know who we are. But like, come on, Luis, you're even 5 years into it, you still don't know how to introduce people.
Well, hi, Luis. Thank you so much for having me. I'm Alana Pinsky. And yes, I have plateaued many times in life. But to tell people a little bit more about myself, I am a content creator. And I am also the host of a podcast called Shamelessly Unapologetic, which I've been doing for almost 3 years now. My whole podcast is about living your best bold life unapologetically with no shame. And I'm also on YouTube where I've recently rebranded. I used to make content about navigating life in Portland, and now I'm just making content more lifestyle focused. And so for me, that was something that I had plateaued with Portland content and I rebranded. And so now I just feel like a whole weight has been lifted off my shoulders since I can just make more general lifestyle content that is still very much valuable. But I am currently based in Portland, Oregon, been here for 2.5 years now. It's been really great. And yeah, that's just kind of a little bit about me and like what my whole brand is about.
How long ago did you rebrand yourself? I feel like if that's super recent, that must have been a big change then. I've done only one big rebranding and this is what you get. This is that one big one, but like I get the itch to do it again every like, I don't know, 6 months to like a year.
Yeah. So I announced that I was going to be rebranding back in the beginning of April. And then I took the whole month of April off because I was so burnt out. So when you're making content about like some of the best things to do in Portland, or if it's like me just navigating Portland and trying out new places, that is a lot of time and energy that goes into filming. And it was getting exhausting running all over the city, going from point A to point B to point C. And I couldn't take it anymore. So I made the announcement saying I was burnt out, I needed a break, and that I was no longer going to be shifting my efforts into Portland related content. And so I started re-uploading in the beginning of May, and it's just been a breath of fresh air. So yeah, I guess I officially started making new content back in May. So just a couple of months ago, but then I announced the rebrand in April.
Okay. And when you did that, you said there was a huge weight lifting off your shoulders, but I guess people don't really understand, like, at the end of the day, like, content creation sounds all fun and games, but, like, you literally have to, like, get people engaged. You have to do this. And, like, for me, I can't show my ass and tits. I mean, if you want to, you can. You can subscribe to my OnlyFans. But, like, the thing is, like, nobody wants to see that. So, like, and I think what I liked about yours and what stuck out on your page, which I first and foremost, that when I reached out, I came out as a fan first. Like, I was like, yo, I like what you do. And that's why I wanted to reach out, because I like your whole story. I like your vibe. And just the way you tell stories is very similar to something I would like, and similar to me, like, you know. And so I just like how you do things. Have you ever felt like it was like, I guess... hard to keep people engaged in Portland, because I love Portland. I think Portland's great, but how many of us are there of people like, this is what you're gonna do? Like, I'm just stressed trying to, like, you know, come up with content of my own. How do you keep it specific to a town like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there's so much content that you can do. A lot of it was neighborhood tours, some good places to eat, but making it more specific. So I've done a video on like best vegan spots to eat in Portland. I've done a video on like some good coffee shops.
For the record, you didn't get shot, right?
No one got shot. But yeah, like just coffee shops and a lot of other things. It could be videos of me doing something that I had never done in Portland. There was so much to do. And I have a whole playlist on my YouTube channel on some of the best things to do in Portland. It's just called like my Portland lifestyle playlist. I even have taken it out further where maybe I go outside of Portland. Like I've done a video on me exploring the Mount Hood area, me exploring the Oregon coast. So there's so much content that you can make. Also, ChatGPT can also be a lifesaver when it comes up with new content ideas.
Don't give away our secret. Don't give away our secrets.
Yeah. I mean, ChatGPT came out like what? Out back in November. So it's still pretty new. It's not even a year old. And I mean, it was a lifesaver when I was kind of going into a rut. I'm like, okay, I'm running out of ideas on what I could do for Portland content. And then ChatGPT came out with this like whole new list of stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, I would have never thought to do this. This is great. This is so helpful. And I mean, I still use it from time to time with like new content, of course, in case I do fall into a rut. But yeah, there's so much great engaging content out there. I feel like my target audience is pretty much young adults from their like young 20s to early to mid 30s, could be even further and beyond. I mean, I have people of all ages who watch my content, but that's probably the primary bulk of my target audience age range. And, you know, it's great for people who are young or single, and maybe they're just new to Portland. They need things to do. Or maybe they want to explore more of Portland. Maybe they've lived here for a while, but they've never really gone out and enjoyed the city. So those are the kinds of people that are going to really love my channel, or people who love travel content, or maybe they're going to be visiting Portland and they need things and inspiration to do and see and explore. They're going to love my channel. And I always love getting content saying like, oh, I'm moving to Portland. This video was so helpful. Or I'm visiting Portland and you teaching me all about how to use public transportation here was a lifesaver because we're not going to have a car. So that's another great thing that I love about those videos. And it really engages the listener. Having a lot of B-roll really helps. Showing people what you do and making a whole story out of your videos is what keeps people engaged.
Do you have any like professional media training or any type of like education in this? Or is this all self-taught and all passion?
Oh yeah, all self-taught, never went to film school. You know, I had to teach myself how to use a Final Cut Pro. I first started off using iMovie, and then I realized I wanted to quickly upgrade because
I love that you stick to your roots. Like, hell yeah, iMovie.
Yeah, there's just so much more that you can do with Final Cut Pro. And yes, it was pricey, but it was like one of the best investments I could have made for my YouTube channel. And so I'm just really happy that I did it. I just have more creative freedom and I love it.
And so there's a couple things that you mentioned that I really don't want to forget. One of the things was ChatGPT. I can't go off on the whole thing. I'm part of the simulation. I love it. I don't want to leave it. And I don't fuck anyone who says otherwise. I love it because that's gotten me out of so many things, and especially with my soft rebranding of what I'm doing right now. It's kind of like it's come in clutch. So like, for example, like your bios and things, you know, have to write like what your show's about, and like,
yeah,
I'm not good about writing about myself. I don't know how to write about myself without sounding like a uneducated fucking loser. And you know, I was like, okay, well, I'm not that. First and foremost, let's get the confidence back up. I know what I bring to the table, but I just don't know how to articulate it the way I need it to.
Sure. So
using that, if you read everything on my bio, I didn't do any of it. It was all AI that just brought it together.
Really?
I'm like, write an engaging intro using this factor and this. Keep it short and simple to the point. Make it funny, but not too funny. Like all these parameters, and then it just spit out all my content from like this point on forward, and it's been amazing. It's been just exponentially like crazy how fast it just happened. So I'm on that boat, and everything I've done is AI, and I'm in the simulation. I don't even know if I'm real half the time. So.
Yeah, I know. I love using it so much. I do try to edit a little bit of the fluff because sometimes it will just say things that sound super cheesy. And I'm like, okay, I don't talk like this. So I have to kind of edit it down a little bit. I think the worst is like if I need help, if there's something that I need help with, like writing an Instagram caption, it will spit out so many emojis. I'm like, no, we're not going down the emoji path. Like I'm not an MLM girly. Like we're not giving out this energy with all the emojis. So I have to like make it redo. So basically, yeah, regenerate the response. That's what I was trying to say. And
so what you're saying is fuck MLM girlies. Cause
yeah, right. Cause they all use emojis in their captions and it's
and
so
we
crazy.
All hate them.
Yeah. And so I'm like, do it without the emojis or the emote icons, whatever word that it recognizes to describe that, and regenerate the response. And then I'll do that. So it's always annoying. So I feel like now every time I have to like ask it to do something, I have to be like, oh, by the way, no emojis. Do not include emojis. I'm not trying to be cringe here.
Does your ChatGPT know that you're like a millennial too? So it's just like, ah, fuck you. Here's all your emojis, loser.
I have no idea.
I think that at least because mine is the same problem and I do the same exact same thing more alike than you think. And I will tell it like no emojis because mine will just spit out every emotion, every emoji out there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh wow, tell me I'm not over 30 without telling me I'm not over 30.
Right. It's really cringe sometimes, but so I do like it. I do like it. I do try to, check and be like, okay, I'm going to delete this because that doesn't sound like me. And then it looks a little obvious that it sounds like AI wrote this. So I try to make it as subtle as possible, but it's like, great for a baseline.
And I've been using it in my personal life with like friends and stuff. Like my friends for the last month have been talking to ChatGPT in the group text. They think I'm just like super well spoken now. They think I'm just like super in line. I think I made camping trip like plans for like a couple weeks that I didn't agree to, but I just let it roll on. And I just connected it to the iMessage and I just let it like whenever they reply, they text me, it spits out a reply like, oh, that's really good. And that's super cool that you're, or that's really enlightful that you would think that way about it. Next topic. That's really nice. And blah, blah, blah. And then I see them in person. They're like, wow, Luis, you've been such a pleasure to text with lately. I don't know what this whole new energy thing is about, but I'm liking your vibe. And I said, fuck, that's amazing. Thank you, ChatGPT. I'm still a scumbag, but that's okay. And so I'm agree with it. ChatGPT is is the vibe. Also, I'm very curious when I meet like, especially like other people through this avenue. But the fact that we're kind of like, we're on the same boat. We're content creators and very similar. I don't do video. I need to do video. I want to do more videos. Essentially, the goal is to do more videos, more whether it's like skits, bits, anything, just more content for YouTube. I don't zero YouTube. Presence. It's just all audio. And I think that's where I'm plateauing because I need to get on the next vibe. And also, which I appreciate what you do because you're like out there grinding. I like that. I'm like, I'm low key just learning from you and how you react and how you interact with your following. And I'm kind of taking notes from that. But you aren't always like that. And I guess what makes me curious the most is everyone has an oh shit moment. What was your oh shit moment where you realized this is what I want to do? This is the avenue I'm taking. Like you one day were not doing this and now you're doing it.
Yeah.
And today now you're doing it better. What was your oh shit moment that made you want to choose this as an avenue?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's kind of funny how I got started. So after I had graduated from grad school and a week before I had gotten my first job offer where I was going to move to San Francisco, I was going to be a bridesmaid in my friend's wedding. And so for me, I really wanted to get better at makeup and pretty much had this beautiful makeup look as a bridesmaid. It was my first time being a bridesmaid. We were going to be wearing these like really pretty charcoal dresses. And I knew like a purple full glam makeup look was going to be great. So I went to Ulta and I bought fresh new makeup that I had never bought. Like I didn't know how to contour. I didn't wear fake eyelashes, highlighter. There were so many makeup products that I wasn't using prior to that. So that was one thing. So after I had gone into the beauty space rabbit hole of watching a lot of beauty gurus on YouTube, it became even more popular for me after the wedding. And once I had moved to San Francisco, I was watching so many beauty gurus on YouTube, learning so much more about makeup and what's out there. And then I attended Generation Beauty by Ipsy, which is basically like a beauty convention. There was one in San Francisco. And so it inspired me to want to make a beauty YouTube channel because that's how I first started. That didn't last too long. I think I did that for maybe a couple months and then I re-niched. But yeah, so I first started off doing beauty YouTube. And so Generation Beauty was the final oh shit moment for me where I'm like, okay, I just need to start my channel. Even if I don't have hordes and hordes of makeup like these folks on YouTube, I have enough product. I can be creative and just continue to be creative and, you know, try to have a focus on like cruelty-free beauty because that's what I really focus on. I'm still very much passionate about cruelty-free beauty. I'm very mindful about that. And that's why I first got started. And it did generate some watchers, but I didn't realize like how oversaturated beauty was. Even cruelty-free beauty was still very saturated. So then I had done this YouTube bootcamp course and I still work with this coach to this day. And I did her whole like workshop where I had to figure out how am I going to re-niche myself because my YouTube channel was already plateauing. Like it could have been better. I mean, my channel literally was the definition of everyone starts somewhere. Oh my God. I've had to private so many of my first few videos because they are just so, so bad. Like the quality is bad. The sound is bad. The content is bad. It just obviously like I got better over time. I learned more about like what B-roll was. I got a better camera because I first started off using my work iPad's camera and I had a lamp that I used for lighting, but I didn't have a mic because I didn't have a camera. And
you're like in the trenches with that.
Oh my God. Yeah. I had to be so creative with what I was doing. Like literally I was the definition of everybody starts somewhere. So over time it got better. I got better with thumbnails because thumbnails used to be the bane of my existence. I was so bad at them. And then once I like focused more on like navigating life in San Francisco, because that's where I was prior to Portland, I made a lot of great videos about navigating life and dating in San Francisco. I found a great, formula for my thumbnails and just how I was going to design them. And then my click-through rates got better, my watch time got better, my view count got better. And then 2020 is where I saw more growth than I had ever had within the past 3 years of starting my YouTube channel. And then 2021, I moved to Portland and then I had to refocus to Portland because I was no longer going to be in San Francisco. But what I would like to do is go back to San Francisco and do like a whole San Francisco week on my channel. And that would always be very fun for my viewers. And 2021, I hit 1,000 subscribers, which was a big milestone because that was the milestone where I could finally hit monetization. So then I became monetized. And that's kind of my journey. And it's just really gone up from hill. I actually recently just hit 2,000. So it's still been a slow growth process, but it's a lot quicker than it has been before. I mean, it took me 4 years to get to 1,000. Now it took me 2 years to get to 2,000. So hopefully the time will just keep decreasing and decreasing on how much more it'll take me to get every 1,000 subscribers added onto my channel.
And that's that type of like creativity and determination that I'm really like fucking with heavy. It's like if you can figure out the algorithm and figure out what people want to see and what people are interested in, as like even corny as it sounds, but like even like I was watching an interview with Mr. Beast and how he's like, he said, I'm a product of YouTube. I'm a child of YouTube. I studied the algorithm.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's dumb. This is dumb. And but like, it's true. Like it, you got to study the algorithm. And I think once
you do
figure that out, I think you're figuring it out more sooner than you think. And I think that's exciting because you're like, I see you, algorithm, and your viewership is growing. So it's not only just your podcast, it's like your whole YouTube page, which is the YouTube the main focus of like not even revenue, but just like your main focus, or are you like still like podcast heavy in the heart?
I mean, my podcast does take a lot of time because I'm always editing podcasts or trying to scout out guests and emailing guests, which is always hard. But yeah, I would say YouTube is my number one platform. My podcast is probably second. TikTok and now Threads are probably like my third primary
You're platforms. On Threads too.
Yeah, oh. Dude, I love Threads. It's so much better than Twitter.
Oh my gosh, yes. Doesn't it feel like you're back in 2010 to 2013 again, where you can say whatever you want?
Yeah.
And like, it's like fun. Like, I don't know. Social media hasn't been fun lately for me.
Right. Yeah, I think Threads is going to be very fun. I mean, I still have Twitter, but I don't really say anything on Twitter anymore. And like my follower count has decreased over time because people are just deleting their accounts, or maybe they just don't like the stuff that I post. My tweets are actually private because that's how it was for me in college. And honestly, the general public, I just felt like they don't need to see what I'm tweeting. But obviously, now that I am a content creator and Threads has launched, it's all public. So I'm not afraid for the internet to see what I have to post. I still probably will keep my Twitter private. But I might still look at Twitter for other things because there are some people out there that I like that are using it that I still enjoy following. But yeah, no, Threads, it's definitely here to stay. It's way better, in my opinion.
Oh, 100%. I'm loving it. I'm telling you that it feels fun again. It feels like the internet is fun, even though it's like connected to my podcast, you know, Instagram, but it just feels fun to like, I don't know, like it's like an almost even nostalgic feeling. Maybe that's what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, because it feels very nostalgic.
And if they keep like adding upgrades to it, or, you know, and it just becomes the new Twitter, it's going to suck. But as of right now, it feels fun. And I don't think I've had fun, that much fun on the internet before, or even giving a shit about what other people say.
Like, right.
I'm so up my own butt. Like, I don't care what people say. And I think that's what also made me plateau, because it's like, I became so callous to like, oh, I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what you're doing. Like, I'm doing what I'm doing, and I don't care to move on to the next wave. I found the wave at the time, and I'm sticking to it. But that's the thing with waves. There's new ones that come. So me just adjusting and not sounding like an old head is kind of where I think a lot of my issues stem from, which is why I took so long to do something. Joking, like, blaming kids is like stupid, because that's what I did. I was like, oh, it's my kid's fault. My kid's a baby. He didn't do anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can blame relationships. I didn't do anything either. They're just living their lives. You know, it was me. So I think with this whole new resurgence, it's kind of like, all right, let me show you what I can actually do now. It almost feels like I'm brand new again. And I think that was the feeling I wanted to go into this, is it's day one. It's not year five anymore. It's like, this is day one. This is I'm doing this all over again. I don't know. I guess I like hyping myself up in that way to maybe even want to rebrand, you know. Is that how your rebranding kind of goes, or do you just kind of just do it? I think way too into these things.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to be passionate about what you're doing, because if you find yourself in a rut and you're feeling burnt out, it probably means that you're no longer aligning with your content anymore. And that's how I was feeling when it came to Portland stuff. I mean, obviously, I still love Portland. I still embrace this city all the time. But I was getting really tired of running around making content. It was taking up so much time that it was draining. And I want to make my YouTube videos and film where it's not draining me and sucking all of my energy out of me. So it's really important that you reevaluate and figure out what you want to do next and reflect and take a break. And that way you will gain your spark back again to find yourself being realigned with something new that is going to keep you energized and not make you hate what you're doing. Because if you hate what you're doing, then you shouldn't be doing it.
100%. 100%. One thing I also want to talk to you about. How do you get the energy to do so many things? Like, I followed you as a fan. I'm first and foremost a stalker too. You know, like I was like looking into like your life. Like at one point you were like competitive bodybuilding and then like you did this thing. Like, do you just say like next week I'm going to be an astronaut and then you're just going to do it?
No. Okay. So that's a fair question though. Cause I have done a lot in my life. As far as bodybuilding goes, that inspiration, sparked from, that's not the right word. That inspiration came from my friends that I made in college who were starting to compete. And I was actually in a fitness journey when I was in grad school. And I thought, okay, that looks like a great goal to work for, but I'm not there yet because I knew how expensive it was to compete in bodybuilding and how much time it was going to take. So I wanted to wait till I had a job, until I was in a better mindset. And once I got into a better mindset, so it was around 2017 is when I reached out and I started prep. But I was still balancing bodybuilding along with YouTube videos because I started YouTubing August 2017. So my 6-year anniversary is coming up soon. So that's really exciting.
Happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you. And so basically I, you know, would still do prep. Like prep was part of my daily routine. And so I just had to schedule around it. So after I would work out, I would film. You know, it was important that I had everything planned out because, you know, they say if you don't plan to fail, then you're going to fail. Or what is it? It's if you don't plan, then plan to fail. I think that's the saying. So that was something that I took very seriously. So once I had everything organized, because I'm someone who needs structure and routine in my day, otherwise shit's just not going to get done. It was really easy for me to just still, you know, being able to do everything as normally. It was just, okay, I just have to learn how to manage my time better. So that's what I ended up doing. I stopped competing in 2020. So 2020 was my last show. And it wasn't because of the time commitment. It was just because it was really hard on my body. And I think it is one of the reasons that I may have gotten gastroparesis. And I have decided, you know what, I want to have freedom to live my life and just enjoy it and not let it consume everything, because it is time consuming, but it's very easy to still incorporate into your schedule. But I didn't want to be working out twice a day for like 2 hours or eating a strict meal plan. I didn't want to feel confined to restriction in general. And that wasn't going to be fun for me. But yeah, I mean, it was just all about managing time. And I've always felt like time management is something that I'm really good at. And so that's just sort of how I want to make things happen. I'm also planning to go back to school, but it's going to be beauty school. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be a hairstylist. So I am planning on leaving corporate America. So once I have my license, I will do it full time first so I can build up, you know, my clientele and, you know, get financially back on my feet. But I still want to be a content creator full time. So once my content has basically taken off even more, then I will be a hairstylist part time, because I'm not going to just say like, oh, I wasted all that money. No, like I actually genuinely do want to do hair. I love doing hair. It's something that I found a new passion in. I just find new passions with different things, but I have to really reflect and be like, is this going to be a sustainable path for me? And so once I decide something's not sustainable, then I know that I can't do that anymore. So bodybuilding was something that I had to let go because it was just no longer going to be sustainable for me anymore. But at least like with being a hairstylist, after I'm able to make content creation a full-time thing, I can still do that part-time and still have use it as like another source of income and make that more of like a hobby that I get paid for. But it's going to be my career first before content creation happens, just because I know I'm not there yet and I don't want to be in corporate America anymore. And I think this is going to be a really fun path for me that I'm really excited about. Not really excited about the school part, you know, beauty school is definitely going to be time consuming, and I'm doing school part time, by the way, and I think that's going to be easier so I can still keep my current part time job, because I'm going to need to work, because beauty school is not going to be cheap. So that's how I'm budgeting my time and being able to spread out my energy in places where I can put my energy into it, so I literally do not combust, because there's no way I could do it full time, otherwise I would hate myself.
And I admire your time management skills. Again, my bad for being late. That's one thing I did need to work on a little bit better, you know what I'm saying? But so I guess it's just, I see a lot of you in me, and that's why I was so drawn to wanting to talk to you. And this is just like a sliver of you. Like people, you gotta understand, like, it's only been almost 40 minutes. Like, she has a lot of stuff happening and a lot of stuff. We're just touching the surface, you know what I mean? And with the possibility of, like, that, what do you see in your future for the next content? Whether it's us doing stuff together or it's you doing your thing, like, where do you see your content going, and in what direction are you trying to head it? Like, not even, like, 5 years, like, 6 months in tech and in, like, this sphere of tech. I call it tech, but, shit moves quick. 6 months. Yeah. Like 6 months, which is why I feel like I've missed so much.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good question. I mean, I hope that at least I will have 3,000 subscribers within 6 months. That's like an end of year goal for me, is to hit 3,000 in 2023. Mm-hmm. Continuing to just build more of an audience with my content is going to be important with me, whether it's YouTube or my podcast. That's going to be really important. So I honestly still see it being kind of similar to how it is now, just staying consistent and studying my analytics, figuring out what can I improve here, so something improves better for next time, so I know that my videos are going to do better. Planning more is going to be really important for me, but I think for me is staying energized, staying happy, and finding that balance. That is basically what I see for myself within the next 6 months, because I really don't know what's going to happen within the next 5 to 6 years. Like, just nobody knows. But I at least have a goal and a direction on, like, where I see my content going. I don't think it's going to change too much, except for maybe, like, vanity metrics that I, you know, am trying to achieve for myself. That's going to be really important. And that's why I plan everything out in advance to begin with. Like, I love using Notion. That's been, like, one of my favorite planning tools to help me, like, achieve those goals and what my plan of action is going to be. So that is something that I use to hold myself accountable.
And I can't wait to see what you're going to do next. Literally, I'll tell you till the end of the time. Fan first before, like, colleague, because I'm if you guys have a chance to go to her, just even go to her, like, first season of just her talking about her life, the way you tell stories is just, I feel like I'm there with you already, like, we're talking, and that's kind of the vibe I've been really trying to go for myself over these last couple years, and it's just almost like we're engaged in a conversation together. So if you guys
good,
ever have a
that's
chance,
the goal.
Yeah, and it feels personal. It feels personal, and I like that. I feel connected to you, to a complete stranger. Like, wow, what the hell? She, like, engaged me, and I think that's the goal, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I hope people who listen to my podcast can feel like. They can use my podcast as, like, a way to catch up with one of their friends who maybe they haven't talked with in a long time. Learning more. I think vulnerability is so important. People love hearing about vulnerable moments and stories because it's relatable. People like that stuff. People want relatability.
I know. Can you imagine if we were just, like, I don't know. I find it hard to, like, listen to, like, celebrity podcasts and, like, people, like, oh, I'm so rich, and it's hard being me. And it's like, is it though? Like, I get you have problems, but, like, are you really that sad? Like, are you really that relatable? Like, I don't know. I don't relate to people like that. I can't relate to people, like, who are not in the same tax bracket as me, or, like, you know, like, you're famous, you have money. I guess I know that doesn't make you happy. I get that. And that sounds really, like, ignorant of me, but, like, Like, fucking smile. Jesus. I don't know. I just get upset over people.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, it's been really good to like touch the surface with you, and I really do hope, like, in the future we do get to work together more and find that in different avenues, because I'm watching what you do and I'm taking notes. Can you take these next 2 minutes and just do some shameless plugs? Where can people find you? This is just a sliver. If you want the full taste of, like, everything you do, shamelessly plug for the next 2 minutes where we can find you, who you are, what's going on, and where everything.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me on Instagram at alana.pinsky. So that's spelled I-L-A-N-A. Pinsky is P-I-N-S-K-Y. My YouTube channel is just simply my name, Alana Pinsky. I'm on TikTok as Alana Pinsky, but there are two Ys. So it's Alana, I-L-A-N-A-P-I-N-S-K-Y-Y. So just remember that. I'm on Threads, which is, you know, my same name as my Instagram handle. And then, of course, you can listen to my podcast, Shamelessly Unapologetic, which is pretty much on every podcast streaming service out there.
Awesome. Thanks you for taking your time to talk to me and being a part of this resurgence, this new feeling of, like, comeback. I mean, like, this feeling of just, like, wanting to create content. And I really needed to talk to you. It was more like, touching the surface was great, but I feel like if anyone understands what it's like to create content, that's like you. And I think that's why, again, I'm so drawn to you. I think that's it's just why I admire the work you do, and I'm just gonna keep following as a fan.
Thank you.
You're making this so much more fun again. Like, you make me want to better, like, one up my game. Like, when you post something, it makes me want to, like, oh shit, I should do something too. If you're gonna start posting videos, like, I'm like, fuck, I need to do that too. So it's cool that you, like, make me feel accountable for myself. So thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you. I really appreciate those kind words, and you're welcome. I look forward to seeing all the cool things that you put out now that you're feeling inspired again.
Thank you so much for joining. You're listening to Down the Rabbit Hole podcast, everyone, with Alana Pinsky and Luis Noriega. Thanks again, and I'll talk to you soon.